morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello. Terrific Tuesday to you. July 7th already. Oh, my goodness. Time seems to be going a little faster now that we have a little more independence, right? Can move around and go places. Have you gone out to eat and actually sat down in a restaurant yet? It's quite the experience, isn't it, to be able to do things that for so many months we weren't able to do. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't have your copy of the best of the Willamette Valley 2020, there is all kinds of great suggestions of restaurants. Of course, being new back to Salem, I'm just so intrigued with all the different places. And I even drive, like in even this morning, driving down Lancaster Boulevard to the studio, and seeing people out and about and going to work, and movement again is so encouraging to me. It just brings happiness to my heart to see people live in life. It's very encouraging, and I hope you're encouraged today. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with news that you can use. We're here to encourage, engage, and empower you, and we really want to connect you with ways that in a culture right now, it feels like a lot of stuff is out of control and there's a lot of chaos. We want to give you ways that you can plug in and get involved and be a part of the solution. What do you think about that? That's a great idea, isn't it? And in that effort to stay engaged in what's going on right here in Salem and in Marion County and Polk County and in our outlying areas, we are bringing people into the studio who's telling us, hey, what's going on? And as we get re-engaged after COVID-19, it's important to stay connected, right? And so this morning, I brought Danielle Bethel back into the studio with me. And she is, I'm telling you, she is a mover and shaker. And she is like a sister from another mother. I love this woman. She is so connected and visionary. And she's a mom and a wife. And she's happens to also be running for Marion County Commissioner. If she's not doing that in the future, I'll be really shocked, because she is so positioned well to be a leader in that area. Actually, she's already been helping people in our county in many ways with the Salem-Kaiser School Board, or Kaiser-Salem School Board. We've said that before, right? Mm-hmm. Danielle, good morning. So glad to have you here. I know you were out enjoying the 4th of July. Tell me what you did this last weekend.
I took my family up to Detroit Lake.
Yay!
And just spent the weekend with the community up there. My husband and I decided, with kind of the chaos that the valley is bringing us right now with all the different hats I'm wearing, we needed a retreat. So mm-hmm. we got a seasonal campground space up there, and we purchased a boat, and we took our friends and their kids and headed out.
Oh, fantastic. So tell me a little bit about a seasonal pass to Detroit Lake. What is that? Like a state pass? Is that what that is?
No, there's private campgrounds up there.
Oh, okay.
And we have a seasonal pass at one of those private campgrounds.
I love it. We were just talking this last night. How about going camping this weekend? But there's so many choices now that things are opening up again.
Yes.
So do you feel like you got some refreshment over the weekend that you needed?
I did. And it was beautiful up there. The 4th of July was perfect. Of course, we didn't get to have the fireworks over the lake, but Detroit's a small town of just really family-friendly folks, and they did not disappoint. Folks all brought their own purchased fireworks from the mm-hmm. local stands here in town. And there's a main road in Detroit called Cluster. And mm-hmm. I would say there was at least 10 different sites. So we just popped up our lawn chairs and had a nice beverage, depending on your age, watched the kids go to town. It was great. It was just like when I was young, I grew up in a small town in Southern Oregon, and everybody just came out their lawn chairs and, mm-hmm. and spent the evening together.
And it's good to kind of put aside some of the crazy chaos decisions and things. I know even for us, we went to the Columbia River, kind of the same thing, and had that chance to just kind of unplug a little bit and get refreshed. And there's
yes.
something about water and fresh air and nature that it resets us in a good way. That's awesome. So as you come back to town, and today for some people, some of you out there listeners, you had Monday off. So today's your Monday. Happy Monday to you. And but you get plugged back into what's going on. What do you have on your plate this week? What's going on with you?
Yeah, so I was back in the office yesterday, hit the ground running. businesses are still adjusting to the COVID phase two guidelines. So constantly talking to business owners, connecting them to the PPE that they need, answering inquiries from the community, really educating folks on whose responsibility is what, and asking folks for grace and teaching them what that looks like in a process where small business owners have really been suffering through this process from day one. Similar to the education system, it was like a Band-Aid got ripped off when the governor brought down her executive order to shut things down. And the Kaiser Chamber is home to about 95% small business owners, which means there's less than 10 employees. And in our case, we have most of our businesses have less than 3 employees. Mm-hmm. And they're typically family owned and operated. And they're just juggling all these different rules that they don't even know where to turn to. So they turn to us. Mm-hmm. And we this week today, we have our back in-person meet and greets so folks can reconnect, you know, navigating the social distancing stuff, of course. But just really trying to bring people's spirits up and connect them to information, point them in the direction, and just be present for them.
So when we talk about the Chamber of Commerce and what it does for small business, why is it a benefit to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce in Kaiser?
Well, because we're your one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as a business owner, more often than not, folks are really passionate about what they do. But there's all these nuances that go into operating a business that you don't have a background in. And when you join a chamber, you're joining that background. So you can call us on the phone with just about every single question that ever pops into your mind. And we have the answer. We'll get you the answer. Not to mention the fact that we help you expand your customer base, teach folks a lot of marketing and do the marketing for them. But it's also just a community of business owners that have the same struggles and challenges and like-minded mindsets where they can come and rest and be together and just really thrive through life.
And encourage each other, one another, and their businesses in a community that so needs it. And what I love about the Chamber as well is you're a one voice and you advocate for your businesses at the state level when the legislature is going on. And so you're hearing on the ground what's impacting these businesses. And when you talk about many of these businesses have less than 5 employees, when we talk about the relief for COVID, many of those relief packages or financing packages or grants were for bigger, smaller businesses,
right,
if that makes sense. And so there's many small businesses that I've heard have fallen through the crack. What do you think the number one question has been to your office to help these businesses?
In relation to COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Just how do we survive?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's it's no different than your family household budget, in my opinion. Business owners have a goal each year to meet.
Right.
And when the rug gets pulled out from underneath them, fear sets in. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes hard to navigate through that fear. And so when they're, especially in the very beginning in March, when this was all coming down, we were taking questions left and right about just deciphering what the governor was saying.
Right.
Because it was very difficult to kind of translate her information. And then the content in writing would come 2 or 3 days later, but the expectation was to conform prior to, you know, the day that it was announced. So just really putting folks at ease and guiding them through things, deciphering laws versus executive orders versus, you know, what is a suggestion versus what can absolutely be impactful to a business. Introducing them to different organizations that they probably never would have known about before, such as OSHA. We've provided a lot of trainings to our community as a whole since this has begun. And I think folks' education has definitely expanded. I don't know that they would say for the better because it's just brought a lot of trauma to each of them. But it's definitely brought folks very close.
Here's a tough question. And this is something that I've been kind of monitoring over the last few months. How many businesses are you aware of that aren't going to make it through this? Is there any on the top of the mind that, you know, it's just, I can't, we won't recover?
Yeah, I know of 3 businesses that have already closed. You know, but it's, for me, actually the toughest question, the toughest challenge that we've had to deal with at our chamber is the mental health of our business owners.
Right.
I personally have helped 9 folks through the decision to not commit suicide, which is something that I'm not trained for.
Right.
It's not, you know, I don't have a background in mental health. And where do you turn when you're the person they're calling on the phone and you know in that minute, it's really kind of life or death, and it's been really trying.
Well, and the truth about that is the reason why they're calling you Danielle is relationship.
Right.
And you and the Kaiser Chamber and what you've done to connect with these businesses. And if you, I just want to do just a pause right now. If you are listening this morning and you're extremely overwhelmed and you don't know where to turn and you're feeling the burden of your business, your life, maybe you're just an individual that's been unemployed for 15 weeks and still don't have any resources and you all these bills are and you're getting calls or your phone shut off even, maybe you still have a way to listen on air through the radio, there is help. And I want to encourage you, you can even dial right now 211 and 211 will help you. They'll assist you. They'll get you to connections to people who can help you. And we keep you in our thoughts and prayers because this is real. This is the impact of COVID-19 and the shutdown that no one's talking about
right.
or monitoring. And I would like to see, along with the numbers, of course, they don't have a chart on common sense, right? They're not charting common sense during all of this. But I would like to see what our business loss is. I would like to see some of this other information on the mental health part because it is real. And you and I know, because we know who we hope in, who we are and whose we are, we have hope. But it doesn't mean we still don't get discouraged or still have anxiety. These are real life things. And if you're facing these things right now, we want you to know there is hope and there's help. And you might feel it and it's real. We're not denying that it's not real. But there's hope. And there's encouragement, and there are people who can help, right?
Absolutely. I think it's important for folks to know that the Kaiser Chamber specifically, we have a board of directors that's all small business owner. And when this impacted the community so swiftly, they made the immediate decision to open up our services to every business.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped businesses in Arkansas.
Wow.
Just, you know, through social media, just mm-hmm. our reach of information. And that offer is still available to anybody in the community, specifically for businesses. But if you're just a community member and you're not quite sure where to turn and you want to talk to a person, we have connections of all the resources in Marion County through our office.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessed because when I decided to run for county commissioner, I didn't even know what the commission did.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that decision last summer. So I've spent months and months learning about the commission and the county, and those resources are flowing through our information at the Kaiser Chamber. So we have a conduit to connect people to places that honestly we didn't know about before. It's been amazing.
Your running for commissioner has impacted and improved the Chamber Commerce. Yes. And you have been able to make a difference in the lives of business owners. And we're better together.
Yeah.
We are better together. Someone might own a quilt shop and someone might meet someone who owns a restaurant and they have knowledge in business similar. Different products, different services, but they are going in the same direction in their businesses, wanting to provide the best services possible.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing what the chamber does. And I think there's also the Salem Chamber. There's other community chambers. If you haven't gotten involved, maybe you're listening. Maybe you're in Arkansas this morning and you have a business and you want to know more about your local chamber. I encourage you to get involved. As we go into this next break, we're going to go into this break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about Marion County and the diversity of agriculture and business and as you're going towards the commission position, what that looks like, okay?
Okay.
We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you, wherever you are today. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Like us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. You can also go online. We're streaming live at KSLM.news. Tell your family and friends, and this newscast, this little live show, will be on the podcast a little bit later on today, so you can share it with your friends and family as well. If you have spent time outside in your yard this last weekend, and perhaps you were redoing a flower bed, or you got some great idea to build a fence or whatever, and you have some materials hanging around that you're like, I don't know what to do with this, let me tell you about Clayton Ward Recycling. You can drop off your stuff there. They accept concrete, wood, yard debris, dirt, and gravel, cardboard, newspaper, and office paper. There may be some charges, but many things, there are no charge. There's no waiting, easy unloading, fast, friendly service, family-owned and operated. Clayton Ward Recycling off of Main Drive in Kaiser. Open 7 to 5 Monday through Thursday, 7 to 3 on Saturday. Give them a call, 503-393-8700. In the studio today, live, is Danielle Bethel, and we are talking about everything Marion County, Salem Kaiser Schools, Kaiser Chamber of Commerce, things for us to be aware of and to connect. And maybe you know somebody who needs this information. Maybe it doesn't apply to you specifically, but it certainly applies to our community. And Danielle is currently running for Marion County Commission. There are three seats for this big county. When I moved here, I was like in shock that that's all there is, three people who have that big burden. And if you know what the county commission does, it's incredible. It's extensive what they do, the oversight that they have on all of these areas. Tell us a little bit, Danielle, about Marion County and the how geographically it is, how many people, and kind of the diversity.
Yeah, so Marion County has more than 350,000 residents. It's mm-hmm. the fifth largest county in Oregon. Marion County is the number one ag producer for the state. We, just here in the valley, have over 90 languages spoken. That's quite a bit. Our school districts actually report 86 languages spoken.
Incredible.
It's pretty incredible. We have many, many incorporated and unincorporated cities, lots of ordinances to chase around and understand kind of how they all connect to each other. The county is responsible for land use planning. So if you own any land and you want to make any improvements or adjustments, you have to go to the county. They deal with public safety, so law enforcement. Mm-hmm. They oversee that, criminal justice, transportation. So if you have a pothole somewhere on a county road, you call Public Works and they take care of that for you. We also have a health department that is, of course, inclusive of all kinds of health, mental health, physical health, emotional health. Oh my gosh, I'm sure that there's a variety of things, but they actually, the county does something every day that impacts every single resident in this county.
Yes, and so it's important that we be aware of who's running for this position and how instrumental it is in our day-to-day life. Excuse me, I got a little frog trying to creep up into the show. So you're running for this position, is it a two-year term?
They're four-year terms.
Four-year term, okay. And so that election is coming up in about 17 weeks.
Yes.
And in the meantime, you're doing everything you can to let people know who you are. Uh-huh. You have a website, DanielleBethel.com. They can go and learn more about the campaign and get involved that way. They can volunteer. They can support you. They can get a sign, all of those things,
right.
a typical campaign thing. What is your biggest need for volunteers right now?
Honestly, I just need to really grow my name recognition. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 has really thrown a wrench in the wheel of all campaigns. I'm a people person. I can hit the ground running and just get out to places and shake people's hands and get to know them face to face, which is where I thrive the best. And we can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. And folks are, they're a bit reserved in trying to plan for the future because really nobody knows. There's been some, you know, kind of meandering thoughts the governor may shut us down again. And so folks are worried to create any type of planning for in person. So I really need folks to go to my website, go to my Facebook, social media pages, and just share.
Mm-hmm.
Name recognition is the key to campaigns, mm-hmm. but people really need to understand who I am as a candidate and as an individual and what I will do for them.
Right.
We have to bring people together and we need to serve the folks in this community. But we also need to make sure that we're managing our budget and being really fiscally responsible and not just overreaching and, you know, overpromising and underdelivering type of a thing.
You've been a student of the commission over the last year. You said about a year ago you decided
yes.
to run. And so you've been a student and you've been a part of the meetings and the planning. And even through COVID-19, sat in because of your role on the Kaiser Chamber, you've been able to sit in on some of the planning meetings and how to deal with COVID,
yes.
with the, you know, in that stuff. You've been very good at letting people know what's happening. How do they connect with you on Facebook?
So what's my campaign page? Mm-hmm. Bethel for Marion County is the kind of the at symbol. Mm-hmm. But if you just type in Danielle Bethel on the Facebook page, or I'm also on Instagram, which forgive me because I'm still learning all of that.
Right.
Yeah, just type in Danielle Bethel and my name will pop up. And you're going to catch one or two political pages, either my school board page or my county commissioner page.
And the neat thing about the county commission in the 4 years, you have an opportunity to, the commission, when you get started again, it will have some goals and some things to look forward to. And I'm guessing the biggest thing, and every day it changes the campaign goals, I'm sure, of what's important to people. But what you're hearing is livelihood. How do we keep our businesses open? You're already working on that too. What are we going to do about the schools? You're already involved with that. Three, what are we going to do about budget?
Right.
What are we going to do? Because revenues, a lot of the county and the state get their revenues and city get the revenues through fees and business taxes and fees and things like that. And when everything's been so shut down, you're going to have to do some things differently and tighten up the belt. Are you ready for those tough decisions?
I am. I'm actually really looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of creativity available to us in this community. Marion County is just really a county of partnership. Mm-hmm. We've always leaned on each other in tough times, and I believe that we'll come together and make sure the services that are absolutely required are provided. You know, one of the biggest shortfalls right now for all government agencies is lottery dollars. Mm-hmm. And those dollars are very diverse. And so coming up with creative ideas to replace a very diverse dollar is going to be the toughest task, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's been an interesting season that we're in. Even those that still have video lottery, if the restaurants or the pubs that are open, they've had to redo all of that. They've had to move them around and, you know, to get the social distancing. And so people aren't as excited, I think, to do that. So there are some things that we're going to do differently after all of this, and that's okay. Reset and refocus, right?
That's right.
All right. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue on with the conversation with Danielle Bethel. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, for sponsoring the morning show. You can get a hold of Bill for your insurance or financial advice needs by calling him at 503-885-0789. In the studio today, Danielle Bethel hanging out with me, and we're having fun talking everything Marion County, Salem Kaiser School, Kaiser Chamber, getting updated. And I just want to say that there is a meet and greet this morning. What time is that at the Kaiser Chamber? Where is it at?
It's at 8:30, and it's at the McNary Golf Club, actually.
Oh, there we go. And so what a great opportunity to start doing some normal things, right?
Yes.
Getting out. And so put that on your calendar. That happens how often?
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. Okay. So I'm looking forward to going. I'm going to go meet some
I'm super glad you're going to come.
People. I'm excited about that. You also are involved in the Salem Kaiser School Board. And congratulations to you, by the way. You had your annual vote, right?
Yep.
And your new position on the school board is?
Vice chair.
Yay. Good job. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I, in October of 2018, I decided from a mom perspective that I really wanted to see a different type of communication delivery in our community. So I decided to run for the school board, and I was elected, won the May 2019 election, and took office in July of last year. So I've been on the board one full year cycle, and it has been a whirlwind of learning. And every year in July, we have board leadership elections to where we elect a new chair, vice chair. And COVID has really thrown us a curveball. There's been lots of things going on in our community. Everybody's aware of the challenges, the ups and the downs. And about 2 weeks ago, I was kind of just watching the process and had realized that our community is really begging for more information. Mm-hmm. What does the process look like behind the scenes? How are decisions made? Who's at the table? What are the goals? priorities, objectives, and we don't have a good delivery of that. This board, the Salem Kaiser School Board, is run under a governance leadership policy mechanism, which really creates two very specific roles for the leadership. Governance policy for the school board is we have 12 policies that we adhere to, and we oversee the superintendent. So hire, fire, guide. That's it. Oh. Everything else in the district of the 49,000 bodies that are impacted, we have, you know, 46,000 students and a little over 5,000 employees. That's all managed by the superintendent.
Oh, so similar to, sounds a little bit like our Salem City Council, where we have a city manager and a board that sets policy. The mayor is not as hands-on as most people think in a city.
That's
right.
Is that
similar? Yep. Similar leadership that way? Okay.
Yeah. And so I think the community sometimes, well, I was completely unaware as to how things were guided through the district before I got on the board. And now we really need to help people understand. So in the internal administration of the school district, the superintendent and her staff are the ones that sets the internal policies and protocols. So, for example, behavior policies on how we handle students who have poor behavior or discipline, those are all internal structures and policies. Those don't come to the school board. We set a tone, and we're supposed to set guidelines and guidances for the superintendent to meet. And we really haven't done that. We haven't been very sophisticated in that. So I decided, really, it was Monday, a week and a half ago, that I think I need to step up into this role. It's something that I'm capable of doing. Mm-hmm. I do it in my career every day with business owners, and I've been on lots of other boards. My former life, I was a development director for nonprofits.
Right.
So familiar with kind of the governance structure.
Right.
And we need to get into that. We need to create some goals and guidelines and benchmarks for her to really achieve. And we have to do that with our community.
Do you hire the superintendent? Does the board hire
Yes.
the superintendent? So there is some sort of accountability that to the board.
Oh, of course.
And what a lot of people don't understand is how that works is the board as a whole is her boss in a sense.
Right.
And so they set policy. And then what I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, then she sets procedures to your policy.
Correct.
And has accountability for those. And so
right.
you're, what I hear you saying is that you're going to ask more questions, have more check-ins about these different areas, that kind of thing, a little more hands-on, active, and because then that allows you to respond to the community because you're the community face for
right.
for Salem Kaiser Board. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's really important for our community to have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about the county, 90 languages in Marion County are spoken, and 86 of those are in our school buildings. That's 86 different cultures.
Right. And, a diversity of classes of people. And when I say that, I mean, like, you have those that have no jobs, homeless, couch surfing, all the way to people who are business. You have a lot of people, diversity of needs in our school system.
Right.
And I know having just moved into the community right after Christmas, it was a really big deal for a lot of our bikers in the community. We teamed up with one of the schools, and they did the Toys for Tots, the
right.
Christmas program with kids, and bringing, you know, that and brought awareness to me that there are a lot of children that don't even get Christmas gifts, you know, things like that.
Right.
And they partnered with the schools. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of those programs throughout the county. The Kaiser Chamber hosts a program called the Kaiser Giving Basket.
Mm-hmm.
And every year in December, we serve children and families. And last Christmas, 2019, we served 472 children.
Incredible. Incredible. So the school is a great opportunity for children. They get their education. They get connected. I know what it did for me in my life going to, I went to Bush, and then I went to Shirley, and then I went to Judson, and then Sprague. And I know the teachers, the leadership in my life, through the ups and downs in my life, it was those people who were instrumental in my life. And I know you could probably say the same.
Absolutely. I went to Hoover, Waldo, McKay, which are Northeast Salem schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a secret that I struggled with homelessness when I was a youth. And if it wasn't for very, very specific educators in my life, who knows what path I would be on. They kept me from being a statistic.
So we need to do what we can do to encourage these teachers who are in a time that they never prepared for in college for.
For sure. Yeah.
How do you teach remotely and stay connected to your children? And I love the creative ways they did drive-bys of their students, all kinds of things that I saw them doing. And so it's not about, the school board's not about a hammer coming down on the teachers. It's about how can we equip them to be able to do more and stay connected and flourish
right.
in what their heart's desire is and be the best teachers and educators as they can be.
Absolutely. And it's also, I see the school board as a conduit for a more invested education, mm-hmm. not just in the classroom with reading, writing, math, science, et cetera, but just the processes of civics. You know, we don't teach civics anymore in our schools, which I think is a travesty.
Oh, is that why we're dealing with some of this stuff?
Possibly. Yeah. And the school board is a, you know, a lower level, but probably one of the most important forms of government in the mm-hmm. communities. But it's also been, I think it's outdated, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And our superintendent actually agrees. She said that to me yesterday, and I thought, you know, you're right. We have to evolve, and mm-hmm. we have to figure out what that looks like on our current school board. And there's
right.
a lot of emotion and challenges right now in our community. And so I'm excited for the role. I'm not going to lie and say I'm not a little intimidated by it because mm-hmm. I don't want to let folks down. But I think it's really important for people to have grace and understanding. And if you don't know, you have to ask. Don't just shout and judge. It's important to ask the question because maybe I have the answer.
Right, right. And if you're like me, a grandma, right? Now, mm-hmm. all my kids are out of school, in college. I've got one college-age daughter left. Everybody else is married and having their families. But I have grandchildren now coming up in the school system. How can a woman like me in her 50s, a grandmother, stay plugged into the local school system? Because a lot of times we think, well, we don't have kids anymore. We don't have any value to the local schools. Talk to me about that.
Gosh, well, if we weren't dealing with COVID, I would say get your background check and show up to a building.
Mm.
Volunteers are greatly needed in all of our buildings. As an example of some of the things that I do in a normal time, a normal era outside of a virus, the different middle schools have a mom and dad squad. Mm-hmm. Which is just a group of volunteers that come and help during passing time or lunchtime mm-hmm. To have those adult bodies in the hallways interacting with students. It's a deterrent for bad behavior, but it's also a great way for them to connect and grow in their socialization of what other adults have going on. There's always a significant need in our elementary schools for volunteers to come in and help with reading, supporting teachers with grading papers or, you know, cutting out shapes for different art projects. Mm-hmm. The same things that you probably did as a mom when your kids were young are still needed today. It looks a little different, but it's still a significant need, and you have to have that background check.
Well, and I think that it's important when we talk about the school resource issue and the resource officer. It's not necessarily for policing. I think people think or try to make it about, you know, keeping everything under control. It's about relationship. And when a student has a resource officer in their building, from my experience, it has been connecting and a positive influence in their life. And oftentimes that resource officer is a safety measure. If there's something going on at home, they can reach out to that resource officer, and they can intervene in a way that it would be very difficult, even a social worker or
right.
you know, DHS. Is that how they call them here?
Yes.
Yeah. It's different in every state. It's a process. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So yeah, SROs are their title is school resource, and of course, officer is in it. Mm-hmm. But I haven't met a resource officer who's there to police. More often than not, they're coming into a scenario where they have a relationship and an understanding of the student's background, their home life, the challenges that student's facing, and they can help navigate towards resources to a wraparound service type mindset. For me, in the last year, I've seen the amount of trauma that our students face every day in their home lives. And children don't know how to disconnect that when they walk through a school building.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have overcrowded classrooms because funding is tight. There's not enough space to go around. And things happen.
Yes.
And a resource officer is the person who has a different relationship. And it's important for folks to know that we don't have an abundance of mental health counselors in our buildings. We have career and college readiness counselors.
That's basically it. Yes, I have a story when we come back
okay.
from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use today and every day. Danielle Bethel in the studio with me today. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Fun to hang out with you on this Tuesday, trusting you have a good day before you, and maybe you're on your second cup of coffee. I know I'm still getting through my first cup of coffee. You know, I leave the house with this big cup of coffee, and by the time I get to the studio, it's not so warm, but it's still very, very good, and it helps me get my day started, and maybe you're a tea drinker, I don't know. Whatever you're doing, thank you for tuning in this morning. We're continuing the conversation with Danielle Bethel, and she is the director, executive director, is that correct, of the Chamber of Commerce in Kaiser. She also is now the vice chair of the Salem Kaiser School Board, and she's running for commission in Marion County. So she has got her hands in a lot of what's going on in this community, in our community. And one of the things with the COVID-19 that has impacted all different areas, the restaurants we hear a lot about, and they adapted the takeout. We know that a lot of the big box stores got to stay open with some guidelines. They put arrows on the floor, and they did all of the, you know, the plastic shields at the checkouts, and they've accommodated and adapted. But there's some businesses that have not been able to operate. And we had Enchanted Forest in the studio on the air about a month ago or so. And they had just, even before the county got into phase one, they were trying to come up with plans, and they were coming before the governor directly to say, hey, we have a plan. We want to open. We have a plan. We are safe. Our people are trained. We have a plan. It's outside. And they kept getting shut down, shut down, shut down. Well, I think, Danielle, tell me a little bit about that. I think you caught wind somehow of that.
I did. Honestly, I got an email one day from Commissioner Willis that said, hey, have you heard any information about the Enchanted Forest and their struggles? And at the time, I hadn't. And I reached out to Susan, who owns the Enchanted Forest, and said, tell me a little bit about what you have going on. And she sent me a chain of emails that were occurring between herself and the governor's office that just were mind-blowing. Mm. Not that that's shocking to anybody.
Right.
But it was just one hurdle and one empty answer after another for her. And she really needed us to rally around her to kind of push forward the effort of getting open. It's an outside entity. It really didn't fall under any of the guidelines in phase one. And it was kind of ridiculous, to be honest. The governor's executive order initially had said that, you know, if you're a community garden and you can, you know, social distance this or that, you could get open. And literally only because of the classification of her business registration was she prohibited from opening under the executive order. So myself, Representative Raquel Moore Green, Commissioner Willis, Tom Hoffert, the CEO of the Salem Chamber, all came together on a call and just brainstormed ways that we could help her move forward, drafted a narrative and forwarded it off to the governor's office, and then just supported her through different brainstorming and creative measures to get her to open under the second executive order that came out during phase one. And of course, she was able to open in phase two, but there was strict limitations under what that could look like. Basically, reservation only. You have to call in advance and purchase your tickets. They have somebody to kind of monitor your group, and the group has to be, you know, a maximum number of individuals. But what was really frustrating for her is there's a national standard through an amusement organization that other entities in the state were kind of able to comply with, but she wasn't. And so there was just this odd double standard that seems to exist quite often that I've seen through this COVID process in industries. And the governor's office just was really disinterested in coming forward and supporting them to get open. It was just more roadblocks every time we turned around. And she was frustrated and exhausted, as anybody would be in that situation. And I've learned a lot about the Enchanted Forest. I can tell you the square footage of the property. Because it was important to us. Sometimes it comes down to math. And when you look at an executive order and they say that each individual has to have 35 square feet of space, that's moving space when you're at a park like Enchanted Forest. And how do you break that down on a piece of paper to deliver your method? And Susan worked really close with the commission and the health department in Marion County, which is really where I think the authority should lie, you know, locally.
Local government.
Local government understands what their constituents and businesses have going for them. But it was a great experience, and I'm happy that she's open. She's doing okay.
Yes. And so, and we want to share with you, and I'm hoping to have her on the air, maybe if not by the end of the week, first part of next week, do a call in with her and give us an update on how it's going. But here it is, my friend. You can go to enchantedforest.com, and you can make a reservation for you and your family. And why not support a local business? You can purchase your admission online. There are 3-hour increments as your length of stay, no more than 10 in your permitted group. But how fun an adventure to pick a weekend and go and enjoy. And now you go online and you can see what's open and what isn't. And of course, in the indoor spaces, you'll have to have, they're requiring a mask, and it sounds like they'll be doing some temperature scanning as well. And so go on the website, enchantedforest.com, and learn more. But so exciting that they're able to be open. They've had a plan all along. Just a lot of roadblocks. And again, I don't understand, and what I don't understand coming back to Salem, coming back to Oregon, is all of the roadblocks that businesses have to incur just to open when they're putting their time, treasure, and talent on the line mm-hmm. to provide great services in our community. I think if there's something that we can do on the county level, if there's something we can do on the state level, certainly, and anybody running at the national level, I think we need to look at ways to encourage business and help it thrive, right?
Absolutely.
And you're doing it every day. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. How can people get a hold of you at the Chamber?
KaiserChamber.com, or they can give us a call, 503-393-9111.
And on the school board issues, where can they go to learn more about the Salem Kaiser School Board?
So there's a website. I think it's salkais.or.us.
Okay.
But if you just Google Salem Kaiser School District, mm-hmm. There's a pretty informative website. They're also pretty active on all the platforms of social media, specifically
good.
Twitter. Our communications department really likes Twitter.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, good. And then if they want to get involved in your campaign, again, tell us your website there.
DanielleBethel.com.
And we'll put links to this on our podcast so you have a chance to get a hold of Danielle. And my hope, Danielle, will you come back next month and give us an update on where everything is at?
Absolutely.
Would that be all right?
Of course.
All right. And if you're out and about today and you're in the Chamber business area, we'd love to meet you at, where's the McNary?
It's at the McNary Golf Course today at 8:30.
8:30, Kaiser Greeters, every Tuesday.
That's right.
At 8:30, so you can meet us there today. All right, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We've had a wonderful time together, and I want to tell you, tomorrow morning, we're going to have Jim Moore with Salem House of Prayer on the air with us in the studio, talking about some events that are happening at the Capitol this weekend. Yes, there's going to be a big gathering again of prayer and time thinking about what's going on in our state and our nation. And so he's going to join us tomorrow morning. And I want to encourage you, if you have someone that you think would be a great on the air, great interview, personal interest, business, we'd love to connect with you. Send me an email at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you, Danielle, for being a part of the show. It's going to be a great day.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Go out and make a difference today, my friends. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, yes, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day.